And why? Because awards don't mean a goddamn thing. It's stupid. They're all stupid. All the award shows on TV. Honestly, it is beyond me that we feel the need to set aside a night to give out these Jagoff bowling trophies 6 times a year so all these people can pat each other on the back about how much money they're making boring the piss out of half the world.
It's a wonderful night for Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
All right, there we go. Turning over. I've got tone. Fire away. All right, everybody. Welcome into the podcast special edition. This is the 95th annual Matt and Bob's Extravaganza Oscar Pick Show. Prestige. Season comes to an end, Bob. Maybe a little bit of a wimp and a whisper. We're not super pumped this year. A little nervous about what could win, what's going to steamroll some of the narratives. How you feeling?
Yeah, apathy is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
It's hard because you want this to be entertaining. We want to infuse momentum and energy into this, right? Because if we're not into it, two losers that try to watch as many movies as possible, as much content as possible, and in kind of the last gasp of kind of younger people that pay attention to the Oscars. If we don't give a shit, then who's going to give a shit, right?
I know, right? Target audience right here. I mean, it's a dying breed, let me tell you.
Former actors, sound the siren, you know.
The past two awards ceremonies have been very bad, especially last year without the slap, all that crap. But this year, I actually think it could be a good show. You know, Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy. Yeah.
I think you know he's gonna run a tight ship. He's gonna have some nice solid bits. It's you know throw it up some cake there. Hopefully we don't get too much Chris Rock, Will bits, Smith. Man. Yeah, just like keep that to a minimum. Let's keep it going. I like the promo right off the bat. You know, jumping into that Billy Crystal role of inserting himself in movie parodies with the Top Gun promo.
Yeah, the Top Gun promo. I was gonna ask, how pumped up are you with that?
It was great. Yeah, it was well done. It was funny. It's kind of what you want to see. That was the best thing about, like, you know, Stewart hosting, Billy Crystal, you know, all those years. That was what made the show so fun and when it had high numbers. The lack of a host the past 2 years has just been stupid. I'm actually somewhat looking forward to this, you know, 3.5 hour, 4 hour, whatever it is. Some nice movie montages in there, maybe like a montage about the Western, or I always enjoy those.
Yeah, I just think the Oscars are typically a celebration of movies and a celebration particularly of this year's movies, but there's not a lot of movies worth celebrating. that's basically the consensus I came to, and I just want to quote a friend of the podcast, in Cartoon Hall of Fame, Greg Ott, who had texted us and said, was going to watch some Oscar movies tonight, but can't bring myself to suffer through this shit. And I think that's where most people are right now. So who wants to celebrate it?
Yeah, well, was he referring to like just all of them in general or specifically Elvis? So maybe he had fired up Elvis. And
I think he was talking about like, I'm looking at all of the stuff that I should be. And this is the time, right? The last couple weeks, people are doing their last minute watching, including me. I mean, I just watched last night my last movie of the season, I guess you could say, was Women Talking. And how the fuck did that slog get nominated? Like, Babylon, with all of its problems, like, still significantly better movie.
So much more exciting.
Talking.
Yeah. I challenge anyone to come at me about a defense of Women Talking.
Yeah. Not a good picture. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I think just a lot of them are sloggy, and I think the Oscars, and if you go back and you remember what Ben Fritz had said in our interview with him, but he said the Oscars are what the industry wishes it was, and the box office is what the industry actually is.
Yeah.
And I think they're really trying to bridge that gap, and you're going to see, I think they're going to reward performances, I think they're going to reward movies, so that the people that'll go, oh, this movie won a bunch of awards, and then they go fire it up, they'll go, oh, okay, that was a somewhat enjoyable hang. maybe I will start paying attention to more of these Oscar movies down the line. I think they're trying to do that, but it's also going to give you fraudulent award winners to some degree.
It's just such a long season. Like the odds on favorite, which we'll get to, I saw over a year ago. Everything Everywhere.
Last March, yeah.
Yeah, and I've since seen it three times because people are like, hey, I want to watch this. You want to watch it with me? I'm like, yeah, I didn't really get it the first time. Why not? But it's just getting such a long slog, and you know, most people are just like, all right, I guess it's kind of painful for, it's like a chore to like kind of get through some of these to have any sort of vested interest in maybe watching some of the show. Like, it's just the apathy is at an all time high. But nevertheless, we plow on.
Let's make our picks.
So
tee up the bet real quick. Tee up the bet. So
that's right. Yeah. Every year
we
do a bet. The best one being shitting in a bucket, which I did not have to do.
Yep, for the shit in the bucket.
Nomadland bet.
Nomadland bet, of course. So a few years ago, if you guys are tracking that. This year we have another karaoke bet. So one fun bet that Hayes had to do a few years ago was seeing Being Alive, like Adam Driver.
Being Alive.
Had to go into an actual karaoke bar and embarrass himself. This year, full Elvis garb. You need to go into a karaoke bar and sing like fake Elvis, and you'll probably do just as good of a job impersonating fake Elvis as Austin Butler.
Yeah, God. So,
the loser has to sing like fake Elvis in a full Elvis costume.
Last year's wasn't super well thought out. It was a bet revolving on a movie that was not even close to being nominated, but it was fun in theory. I still might cash that in eventually, but anyway, we could talk about you know, how Last of Us finale coming up on Sunday. South Park's been really funny, but Bob, let's get to that later. Let's dive right in, and let's just start right off with the shorts.
Okay.
I was actually going to ask you, how do you feel about the shorts still being in the product? Is this something they could cut out to save time?
Yes. Yeah.
I think these need to be awarded at like the governor's ball or like something beforehand. I get it's a nice moment for some of these small films. It's also been around since the 30s, which I kind of respect the longevity of the award. But never, I just, no one watches these, and I understand that
even the ones on Netflix, it's like,
well, more streamers are getting into it. Netflix, Amazon Plus, Hulu, and Disney Plus all have kind of a horse they're backing here. But yeah, let's dive right in. Let's start with shorts animated. You seen any of these?
Nope. No. Yeah. I'm gonna have to go with the Vegas here. So, you know, if you're betting against me, you're betting against the house, Hayes.
Yeah. I'm gonna go probably the same. I'm gonna go with the boy, the mole, the fox, and the horse.
Wait, that was the Vegas odd favorite?
What are you going with?
Oh, shit. My year of dicks is what I had.
That's actually supposed to be very... it's between those two. I just hated my year of dicks. I fired it up last night on Hulu, and it's just... I just didn't like the animation style. The boy, the mole, the fox, and the horse looks really cool. It's like beloved children's book as well. Like the animation the best. I saw the Ice Merchants as well. It's on the New Yorker's website. But yeah. All right, so the boy, the mole, the fox, and the horse for me. You're going with my year of dicks.
The road is already diverging.
Yeah. If you actually saw my year of dicks, you'd hate it. It sucks.
Wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't take it. Shit, maybe I should take the book. Well, we're locked in now.
All right. The more divergence, the better, because I think there'll be plenty of same bets here. Short film, live action. See any of these?
No.
So the nominees, and I'll do this for the rest of the way, An Irish Goodbye, Evalu, Le Pupil, Night Ride, and The Red Suitcase. Who's winning?
Red Suitcase.
Yeah, that looks like the odds on favorite. I'm going La Pupil, though.
Ooh, tell me more.
It's the only one I watched. It's on Disney Plus. It's about this convent of kind of orphans, nuns in training. They receive a lavish cake, but they're not allowed to eat it. It's kind of queer. It has like Wes Anderson vibes in some of the shot selections. I didn't see The Red Suitcase, but I heard it's pretty timely. It's about, you know, an Iranian woman escaping her marriage. That's obviously going to be a heavy hitter. Yeah, so that's a good pick. I think it's between those two as well. And we move along. So documentary short subject, The Elephant Whisperers. You can find that on Netflix. Halut, How Do You Measure a Year, The Martha Mitchell Effect, also on Netflix, and Stranger at the Gate, which I know was a few pundits' picks. Stranger at the Gate. I'm going to go The Elephant Whisperers. I saw this the other night, and I love it. I love Nature Docs. It's gorgeous. I'm going with that one.
I am also going to go with Elephant Whisperers to hold serve here. But How Do You Measure a Year? You measure it in love. Seasons of Love, Matt. 535,600 minutes.
All right, that's the theater queer corner for the pod. Yeah. Cool.
Seasons of Love.
did you see that? Did you see any of these?
No, but I just thought that was a funny title.
Now, if I were to pitch you on one of these, and I haven't seen this yet, but Halut.
Are we getting in the elevator?
Halut? Yeah, let's get in the elevator. I kind of want to watch. This is the pitch I heard for Halut. It's The Lighthouse, but with Norwals.
Speaking of, there's another Hall of Fame performance coming up.
Hall of Fame performance, our guy.
Willem Dafoe losing his mind, stealing some art, and getting in seclusion. And anyway, it's called Inside.
It looks nuts. Yeah. All right, I'm just go down to the bottom of the New York Times list here. We'll go up from there. So let's go into documentary feature. Nominees are All That Breathes, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, Fire of Love, A House Made of Splinters, and Navalny. You see any of these?
Nope.
That's 4 for 4. So All the Beauty and the Bloodshed I haven't seen, but that was like a heavy hitter. Some of the podcasts I follow had this as like a top 5 movie of the year. It's kind of a famous documentary filmmaker that I don't know about, but it's about sort of art and protest, pharmaceutical. I think some family that holds like a big art collection is big into the opioid crisis. So I thought that was going to be a big winner here. I've since changed my mind. Let's see, Fire of Love on Netflix, about this couple of volcanologists that like travel the world chasing volcano eruptions. It looks awesome. The footage is great. It's basically like a re-editing of this couple's footage.
I thought you were going to say it's a re-editing of Dante's Peak.
Pierce Bronson returns to the role. And then Navalny, I watched last night, which is going to be my pick. It's this the opposition to Putin, and they kind of follow him around as he's like harassed and poisoned. And it reminds me of Icarus, which was that documentary about the doping scandal in Russia. Mm-hmm. It kind of reads like a. Where it watches like a investigative journalism like thriller. I just watched it last night. It's great. So it's between those two for me, or certainly those three. But I'm gonna pick Navalny.
I apologize because you did all that thorough research and provided so much context for our listeners. Maybe even motivated some of them to go expand their minds and learn something through these documentaries. I'm also gonna pick Navalny, just based on Vegas odds. So
yeah, nice. I usually get stoked for the docs, so there's usually like one in there. I try to watch most of them, and you know, that's like my guy, especially like Free Solo year. Like,
yeah,
I definitely like to have a documentary to back. You know, the My Octopus Teacher, which was up against Time, and I liked both of those a lot.
I was just thinking about My Octopus Teacher. I was in Australia and we went snorkeling, and I was thinking about My Octopus Teacher a little bit.
Yeah, did you?
Because I think it was off the coast. It was New Zealand, I think. He was doing all that diving. But
I think it was South Africa. But
do I know?
In the Cape. But yeah, so.
Typically, if I see a documentary, it's because you've already seen it and texted me and put me on the elevator and inspired me to see it. So I don't typically. I love watching documentaries, but I don't typically default to trying to find them. A lot of times it's when either the Oscars come out and I'm doing my research, which I used to do a lot better than this year, or you've told me to.
Yeah, no, I was kind of late to the game this year as well, but Fire of Love and Navalny, I both really enjoyed. I definitely plan to see All the Beauty and Bloodshed, and I'll probably do it. All right, here's where we get into some of the nervous categories, which could be indicators for possibly Bob never watching the Oscars again. Let's get into makeup. Quiet on the Western Front, The Batman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Elvis, and The Whale. What's going to win?
I think it's I mean, it's almost like Rick Baker, Nutty Professor, like lock-in for the whale. I mean, the star of that movie is the prosthetics.
It's also a little digital makeup, though, which, see, I'm back and forth on Elvis and the whale here. I guess a lot of people really loved Fat Elvis, and obviously, I mean, All Quiet on the Western Front, great makeup as well. I think I would probably pick that one if I was filling out my own ballot. Yeah, if I had a vote, it'd be All Quiet. Just because the caked on mud and the, like, the death masks and like all these bodies and stuff, it's the blood is very realistic. Like, I'm going to go with the whale as well. I don't know if it was even that impressive to me. We can talk about the whale later, but I'm...
Yeah, we should hold off a lot of the opinions for the Brendan Fraser category,
yeah, please. All right, so we're both on the whale for makeup. And this is going to be an early indicator of the Brendan Fraser versus Austin Butler neck-and-neck race, but...
Austin Butturd?
Yeah, Austin Butturd. So there's makeup. We're going early for the whale here. And now costume design, another one that makes me nervous. So we got Babylon, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Elvis, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. This is another one where a lot of people are saying maybe Elvis. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, the costume designer won for the original Black Panther. I didn't see this, obviously, but apparently people are saying this is even more impressive. I have to go Babylon because I love that movie a lot, and I think it deserves some awards.
Okay. I had Black Panther, even though I was thinking about Babylon.
Yeah.
So to keep it to keep the roads diverged here a little bit, I'll stick with Black Panther. But it's I think Babylon. When I think about costumes that are going to stay in my mind for an extended period of time or stand the test of time, I'm thinking about like that red dress that.
Yeah,
Margot Robbie wears to that opening sequence, and you're thinking about just like all the lavish party scenes, just the time period that they were in. It really gave me kind of aviator vibes.
Yeah,
you know, like 20s kind of rockin' vibes. But yeah, I think I'm still gonna stick with Black Panther.
There, I mean, it comes down to imagination versus recreation, right? Where it's like period mm-hmm. pieces or completely original. And I wouldn't count out Elvis here at all. I think the Elvis costumes is obviously very lavish, and the recreation of them, I'm sure, is impressive to people. That's just going to be another one where we could see Elvis kind of notching up some wins here. And I have a hard time picking Black Panther because it's like, are we really going to give the same woman the award two times in a row?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I wouldn't hate that. Next up, I've got cinematography, which
cool. This is one that I really like.
Yeah, this feels like a warm blanket because I don't really know shit about makeup and costumes and hair and all that other stuff. But cinematography nominees: All Quiet on the Western Front, Bardo. I won't say the full title. Elvis, Empire of Light, and Tar. I think this is pretty easy. I'm going with All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, me as well. And I. Just war epic. These ones win pretty frequently for those.
Now, if Top Gun had been nominated, I would have picked it because I think what they capture on film is the best part about that movie. And I'm kind mm-hmm. of surprised it wasn't nominated. I think a lot of people were as well from what I've read. But maybe it's because, you know, it was more about the technology of creating these essentially GoPro IMAX cameras and setting them up in these planes and kind of having the actors be the cinematographers, which maybe mm-hmm. docked it a little bit. But man, the shots in that movie are so exhilarating and in camera for the most part that anyway. But yeah, All Quiet for me. It's a really, really cool looking.
You need to get this guy a beer.
Yeah, I know. I think I'll have a beer. All right, production design I got next here. All Quiet on the Western Front, same reasons, very impressive for there. Avatar, The Way of Water, Babylon, Elvis, and The Fabelmans. Hands down, lock it in, Babylon. For
Babylon, yeah. We're on the same. That one, we even said it when you first saw it, you said this Babylon got all the ones that it really should get in terms of nominations.
Yeah.
Because of the production design.
The production design should have first costumes. Billing. It was like the by far, I mean, we'll get to the score later, but I want to talk briefly about Babylon because we never got to chat about it, but like I had a profound experience watching this. Like, yeah, I've got this tradition with my sister and dad where Christmas Eve we go see a movie, if I'm back in Detroit. So this year we did it in January and we go see Babylon at AMC 20, this old theater, which is the only thing to do in Livonia other than walk around a mall and go to AMC 20. And then so we go there, we go to Babylon. It's like the mall is dilapidated, empty. So, you know, first week in January, it's not like a Christmas weekend or anything. But see this movie, a celebration of cinema, an epic period piece, completely original, huge swing. Movie ends with this like touching montage about like, yeah, the city will turn you out and spit you out, but it's ultimately worth it because of the magic of movies. Mm-hmm. And like, I was in my old theater where I saw so many movies. It was just like totally failing. I come out of the theater with like tears in my eyes, and my sister and dad are like, well, that sucked. I can't wait to see Cocaine Bear. I was like, come on. You're like, they're like, Hollywood is up its own ass, like
is though.
Yeah, which
it's fingering its own butt.
Yeah, it's smelling their farts a little bit. It's, you know, a lot of filmmakers are like making movies about why they love film.
Chazelle has reached his quota of characters he can have stand on a table and talk about the power of filmmaking. And he's done. I am all set with you now on your love letters to Los Angeles. And I know you have lived in Los Angeles, and there's probably a deeper poetic connection to you. I really actually enjoyed a lot of this movie. I think Margot Robbie was robbed by not being nominated, quite honestly. I think she was fantastic. And I was even on this plane to Australia. I was watching Amsterdam, which was a different Margot Robbie movie. Not great.
Couldn't finish it.
But someone else was watching Babylon on the seat in front of me. And I ended up finding myself, like, my eye just kept going. And I was just watching silently, like, watching scenes from Babylon flow through. And I really loved, there was, like, certain moments that I think were really impressive, whether it would be the silent, when they start miking up the stages for the sound part. And I thought that sequence was incredible. I thought the scene between Brad Pitt and the writer, the critic, in kind of the Ghosts of Hollywood, that conversation, I thought that was really well-written scene. And there was moments of it, but then there was also some things narratively, storytelling-wise, I was like, why did he make these choices?
Yeah.
Maybe he was a little too ambitious here.
A little too ambitious, a little bloated. Obviously, it's over 3 hours. The descent into hell scene kind of may rub you the wrong way. Maybe you don't care so much about the... I think the main problem
the metaphor there was pretty straightforward.
But like the main character, it's hard to care about. Manny? Like I was like, get out of here. I wanted some more.
The relationship between him and Margot wasn't... We didn't get enough time to marinate in that.
Yeah, he's not deserving of that character.
I think we should do a full review of it later.
Well, we pretty much did, but I was very very taken by it.
I enjoyed it as well too. Actually, I was surprised at how much I liked it.
Well, certainly the set pieces and the set building is where, you know, production design lives, and that's it's probably its most impressive quality. Impressive. Let's move to the dumbest category, original song.
Get rid of this, too.
Yeah, nominees are Applause, Hold My Hand, Top Gun, which I really like. Lift Me Up from Rihanna, right? From Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Natu Natu, RRR, a movie you still haven't seen, which I highly recommend still. And then This Is a Life, I don't know, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Who's winning? What do you think?
I think it's this Natu Natu, right?
Yeah. First of all, it happens in the movie, which I appreciate. It's not just some credits song. And it's such a thrill ride, this movie. And this is pretty much a nominee for all the songs. It's like this completely ridiculous, off the charts, 2 and 11 Bollywood movie that I just had such a blast watching. It's just 3 hours of nonstop action packed singing and dancing and incredible stunts and CGI. It's just such a thrill ride. This was a great part of it. So hands down, Natu Natu for me. And
they're even advertising it as part of the television broadcast. Like, tune in early because we're going to have this, and this bit, and a performance of Natu Natu by this world-renowned band, and they're trying to get people to tune in earlier because a lot of people kind of come in the last hour because they know that's when all the big tickets are given out.
Yeah, right. Make sure you show up to see it. Coming up next, Tom Cruise sitting in the front row and a performance by Joni Mitchell.
And an award presentation by Denzel Washington. They think that just like celebrities walking out and reading names is enough to get people fucking interested at this point. It's like, I can watch this person cook eggs if I really wanted to.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Denzel Washington walks out and announces who's going to announce the next award.
Yeah, and when was the last time you honestly laughed at a presentation between two people?
Yeah.
It's like maybe Will Ferrell and
Will Ferrell usually has a good bit there. Jim Carrey in his heyday, he would yeah. usually had some good bits.
Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell doing the thing where they were told to watch all the movies, but they didn't, so they're just improvising what the movies were about.
That was
a good bit.
Yeah, that was good. Frank Langella was right next to me. All right, original score, All Quiet on the Western Front, Babylon, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Fablemans. I'm so torn on this. I have two favorites.
I have two as well. What are your two favorites?
It's All Quiet and Babylon.
Those are my two as well. Where are you going?
I love both of those scores. The All Quiet is so badass. That synth, bah, 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 mm-hmm. that you hear throughout the movie. Babylon, I just can't get it out of my head, especially
the jazz.
Like the voodoo jazz. It's again, like one of the stars of the movie. I'm going to go Babylon. I just, as a personal preference, I could really see All Quiet winning, mostly because it's also nominated for Best Picture and a bunch of other stuff. So I might be a little heavy in Babylon, but yeah, Babylon.
Guess what I have? All Quiet on
the Western
Front.
Oh, man.
All right.
No. Yeah, now I'm jealous.
I'm the people's champion. Okay,
uh-huh.
You've won so many years. People are just—I'm the underdog now. They want to see you do a bet. They're tired of watching me poop. They're tired of watching me do Bo Staff stuff. They want to see you have to do.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. God, that's such a tough call. That's gonna be one of the most interesting 50-50s. Oh man, it could go either way. I think All Quiet is probably the favorite too. All right, we did the shorts. So film editing, another one I usually crush. This year it's a tough one. So Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis. God, how is that nominated? That was one of the worst parts of the editing. God. And also, what's so annoying is that because Bohemian Rhapsody was atrocious editing and it won.
Yeah.
Because the guy was like, the director was fired and the... God, such a mess. And the opening
of
Elvis.
The narrative behind the production of it is why that they ended up winning that award, right?
Yeah, it was like, oh, they had to save the production by the editing. It's like, you're missing stuff. This doesn't make any sense. Ugh. Anyway, Everything Everywhere All at Once, the most editing. Tar and Top Gun Maverick. Give me Top Gun Maverick, Bob.
Okay.
Let's go.
I was going to say, you can't have a ballot. You jade off all over this podcast for 6 months about Top Gun.
Sounds
you
like
can't go
lock it in
without having it on your ballot at least once.
Here we go.
Give me Everything Everywhere. I think this begins the run.
So here's, I don't disagree with you, but it's definitely the most editing, which doesn't always win. I actually think it could have been cut down more. It kind of dragged. Top Gun is perfect. There is nothing I would change. Extremely thrilling, exciting, just the tension. You're at the edge of the seat you're the entire movie. Now, I would also say Tar is very well edited. It's very precise, very well done. But Everything Everywhere, definitely on a freight train, steamrolling. So this is going to be a fun toss-up. Score and editing.
I would have edited out the naval officer suit makeout scene on the beach, as well as the sailboat dinghy ride in the blue sweater of Top Gun.
Love the blue
sweater. I think
those
could have been trimmed.
Fair enough. All right, we move along. Visual effects. Let's make this quick. It's All Quiet, Avatar, Batman, Black Panther, and Top Gun.
Avatar, keep it moving.
Yeah, it's going to be Avatar. All right, so moving on to sound.
James Cameron,
the explorer of the sea.
Can you guys hear the song up there? Yeah, we hear it, James.
Yeah, we can hear it, James.
All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, Batman, Elvis, Top Gun, Maverick. Who do you have winning this?
Which category are we in now? We're doing
sound,
a James Cameron.
Sound
oh,
design.
Sound. Sound design. Let me find it. Sound. I have All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah. I'm going Top Gun Maverick.
Ooh. Kick the tires and light the fires?
Kick the tires and light the fires. The engines, the roar, the chaff being deployed, all those great sound effects, the buzzing in your seat, the humming of the afterburners.
The clicking and clacking of the keys as Val Kilmer types in his next message in that weird scene. Yeah, yeah. Like they mic'd up the keyboard for that.
And then a movie about being quiet. So a lack of sound. I'm trying to get the people going here, Bob. I'm trying to get people pumped up, and you're like, oh, let's award something where the sound fades away and just like this. They're in this French countryside stealing goose, and just like hear the in the distance the war has kind of faded away and the armistice takes hold. Yeah, yeah. No, it's between those two. It's a tough call as well. I'm going with my heart on some of these.
Obviously. I like it.
Animated feature. We can go quickly here. It's gonna be Pinocchio. Let's say that. Yeah.
Thank you, Guillermo. I love my monsters.
Yeah, fascist Pinocchio. Odd choice, but you can't deny the stop motion, the puppetry. Just absolutely incredible. And Marcel Lachelle was cute. Puss in Boots. I couldn't get through. I watched 5 minutes of it last night. I know that was a big. You know, a lot of people watch that. Sea Beast, okay. Turning Red, I thought was a pretty poor Pixar.
Yeah, me too.
All right, international feature, again. I mean, this is going to be All Quiet on the Western Front. The other nominees, Argentina, 1985, which won the Golden Globe. Close from Belgium. EO, which I really liked, from Denmark, about this donkey. And then The Quiet Girl. I don't really know anything about that. All right, here we go. This is where we get the juice going. Adapted screenplay we'll do first. All Quiet on the Western Front, Glass Onion, Living, Top Gun Maverick, and Women Talking. Who you got?
I was between... I was actually between Glass Onion and All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah.
And I went with All Quiet on the Western Front.
I'm going to go Women Talking.
Oh, gross. How dare you?
Simply because Sarah Polley has won the Guild Awards. She's kind of racking up the Writers Guild and this other stuff. It's nominated for Best Picture. It's got to win something, I guess. There's some good. There's a bunch of speeches. This movie was so boring.
It's boring.
So boring.
Listen, it's medicine watching. I have nothing against, I don't want people to get it twisted. I have nothing against the themes and the message of the movie. And I think that there is a place for it, but it was a very, very tough watch. Not because the content was challenging, but just because the structure of the movie.
Yeah.
Way it was shot. I thought that it was a very, very sloggy type of experience.
Yeah, I went to the theater to see this as well. Oh, wow. Just like, couldn't wait to get out of there. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the sequel, Men Watching Sports. I'm obviously kidding.
Time out.
I just don't know that All Quiet's screenplay is what stood out. It's like the production design, the cinematography, all the other stuff we've talked about. But, I mean, it's won a bunch of awards. It's, you know, the Oscars body is more international than ever. It was not, it couldn't compete in the WGAs. So that we don't really get much clues there. I'm just, yeah. God, I actually really
like did like Glass Onion, though.
And yeah, it's a great script. I had a blast watching that. I really feel sick about that pick. Anyway, original screenplay. This is our favorite category.
There we go.
Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, Triangle of Sadness. Solid lineup here. My beloved Banshees, I would personally pick if I had a vote. Fablemans, I just didn't connect with that movie.
Nope.
Triangle of Sadness, Everything Everywhere All at Once, super original, fun screenplays. Tar, again, very precise, well-researched screenplay. I've got Everything Everywhere here.
Just me as well.
Yeah, the most original. I would love to give it to Banshees, the dialogue, the interplay between witty banter and kind of dark humor and the forebodingness of it. I just really like that screenplay.
I agree. If I had a vote, I would go Banshees. I would actually probably go Banshees and then Triangle of Sadness and then Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I think what's most likely to win, and I do not want to dress up like Elvis, I think the most likely to win is Everything.
Yeah. Okay, now let's get into the top picks here. We'll start with actress in a supporting role. This is a tough call. Angela Bassett, Black Panther. Hong Chau, The Whale. Kerry Condon, Banshees of Inisherin. Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And then Stephanie... how do you say her last name?
Stephanie.
Shoot. Everything... Stephanie.
Nailed it. Everything, just old Stephanie.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Jamie Lee Curtis just won the SAG in a surprise upset. It's the biggest voting body at the Oscars. Could easily see that. Angela Bassett has a lot of steam as well. Which way are you going?
I have Kerry Condon.
I do too. That's, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to give her something. I thought maybe you would go...
give Banshee something, yeah.
I thought you might go like the front runner, like the early front runner of Bassett and then new up and coming front runner, Jamie Lee
Angela
Curtis.
Bassett did the thing. Did you see the Angela Bassett did the thing?
I did, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It is. Well, because it's what's her name from West Side Story doing like a naming all the people that are nominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she kind of goes into more detail with all the other actresses that are nominated and just says like Angela Bassett did the thing. Yeah. And then it became like a big viral.
Viola Davis, you're my woman king. Yeah.
Right.
It was just, I just love when people try to do, I don't know, this is kind of shitty and like millennial snarkiness of me, but I like when people try to be badass and cool and fail, and it's just the humility of that. It's like, this rep sucks, but you thought it was really gonna fucking kill. I don't know, I just think it's so funny.
No, I love that, yeah, just trying to be Weird Al at these lame awards. What was that even, like the SAGs, or?
It was the BAFTAs.
BAFTAs, yeah, okay. Actor in a supporting role, Brendan Gleeson from Banshees, Brian Tyree Henry, Causeway, I haven't seen. That's on Apple Plus, but he, you know, he's great. Judd Hirsch, your guy, just flying in from a cameo for 2 seconds, gets a nomination. Barry Keoghan, Banshees, and then Kiwi Kwan, Everything Everywhere All at Once. He's won everything. It's going to be Kiwi Kwan. This is the Troy Kutzner Award.
Yeah.
Just cleaned up and well deserving. I'm happy to. I would vote for that guy, if I had a pick.
So I would say it's light in both best supporting actors and best supporting best supporting actor and best actor this year. I think there's other years where it's a lot harder to choose a top winner. There's more debate, but and just stronger performances. But I think that short round, it's going to be a sentimental moment. And they want him. They want him talking to Steven, thanking him for Indiana Jones.
Totally, yeah.
100%. Nostalgia ride.
That's why I'm thinking that Jamie Lee Curtis could be like a nostalgia ride as well. Like, she's a legend. Let's award her. You know what I mean? I would love to see Banshees take something. And this is where Kerry Condon's where. I mean, she, you know. The most grounded, down to earth. I think she has the most to do of all the supporting actresses as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope she wins that. And then this guy again. I mean, he's got the line in the movie, right? Like, in another life, I would really like to do laundry and taxes with you. And
yeah, yeah,
it's definitely the most quoted.
He was great. He was really good in this movie.
Very deserving. Yeah. All right. Let's move up to actress in a lead role. Cate Blanchett, Tar, Ana de Armas, Blonde, Andre Riseborough, To Leslie, Michelle Williams in The Fablemans. Now, she's actually a supporting actress. Had she run in supporting, I could see that she could win. I could see her winning that. Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere. This is a two-horse race. It's Cate or it's Michelle. Where are you going?
I was on a podcast with some sports people. It was a sports podcast, but they were asking me for my picks. And on that podcast, I had selected Cate Blanchett because I was like, that movie is really built around a singular performance.
Yeah.
And the strength of that singular performance versus Everything Everywhere All at Once is very much an ensemble mm-hmm. movie.
Totally agree.
I also think it's whether there is fatigue on Cate Blanchett already having two Oscars and Michelle Yeoh, and also kind of a need for diversity at the podium. And if it's like, if it's a toss up between two people, one person's already won it twice. There hasn't been a person of color that's won in the last 20 years.
Since Halle Berry. So,
yeah. I mean, I would then go with Michelle Yeoh in terms of the Elvis bet.
Yeah, the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The feel-good moment of having her up here. I think we'll win Michelle Yeoh, should win Cate Blanchett, but I'm happy for Michelle Yeoh to win this, and I that's my pick. Mm-hmm. It's just the previous wins, the momentum is definitely building on all fronts for this movie. Cate Blanchett, I mean, the role of a lifetime, like a career role, perfect for it, kills in it. I think it's going to go Michelle Yeoh.
Fantastic.
Okay. And then here we go. This is it. This is...
And here we go.
And here we go. Actor in a leading role.
Stretch!
Stretch! Austin Butler, Elvis. Colin Austin Farrell. What? Yeah, Austin Butters, excuse me.
Thank you.
Colin Farrell, The Banshees of Inisherin. Brendan Fraser, The Whale. Paul Mescal, After Sun. My guy. Bill Nighy in Living, a movie that looks very nice, and I haven't seen it, but I love Bill Nighy, and I heard he's really good. I really want Colin Farrell to win this, but it doesn't seem like he is. It's down to Austin Butler and Brendan Fraser. Where are you at with this? Because I don't even want to make a pick.
Okay. I can't. I think that Butt Turd's going to win. I can't, for everything that I've said on this show and everything I believe, if Austin Butler wins, I will completely discredit the Oscars from now until forever.
Okay.
So I cannot, in good conscience, even for the sake of an Elvis bet, the fake Elvis bet, I could not pick Austin Butturd. I don't care. He did a nice job. He sounded like Elvis. I think in the context of the movie that he was in the scene work that he did, I did not connect with that character at all. It felt like a performance the entire time. Emotionally, I felt nothing for what was happening on there. And from time to time, he sounded like Elvis when he was singing. Cool. You know what? You know who's the most impersonated person all across the country? And when it comes to throwback performances, it's Elvis.
Yeah,
like, people do spot-on Elvis impressions all over the world. David Letterman used to have, like, Elvis weeks where different Elvis impersonators would come in and just fucking kill it. So
yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm not impressed by that. Right. And yeah. So I can't pick Austin Butler, but I think that the Academy loves biopics. They love people. And Rami Malek proved you don't even need to sing in the biopic.
Yeah, right.
So
you just have to wear some fake teeth.
Yeah. So it's like, to me, I think it would be absolutely fraudulent. I've already very much, as you can see with my apathy through what I've seen in this season, started to lose faith in it already. But yeah. I think Austin Butler will win. I also know that Hollywood loves a good transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we're going with a nostalgia ride for Short Round winning Best Supporting Actor, I'm going to pick Brendan Fraser, although yeah. I did not like The Whale.
I think
both things can be true, though, to steal a Mike Valenti line. And I think it could be a movie that is a great performance and a Brendan Fraser comeback, but also a very bad movie.
Oh, God.
I think
I hated The Whale more than I hated Elvis. It made me so mad watching this terrible theater turd of like,
yeah.
I couldn't watch one more person storm to the door and
it was
angrily
like Jerry Seinfeld's apartment.
Yeah,
it was Jerry's. It was like who's coming through next? Kramer.
Oh,
it was just a repeated cycle, revolving door.
I hate you. You suck. Oh wait, I can't leave because that would kill the dramatic tension. I'm gonna stand here with my back is angry and...
Sadie Sink was the most one-note thing I've seen in a movie in a really long time. It was incredibly poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I also just thought it was kind of cartoonish. Like, the binge-eating parts when he would, like, spike in terms of stress and he would be, like, eating and purging. I was like, this is kind of cartoonish. Like, I know that they want us to feel a little grotesque. It's supposed to be, like... bringing some sort of emotion out of it. I was like, this is, I'm disconnected here.
I felt zero empathy for this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, his lover starved himself to death out of shame, and he's eating all the food that this guy couldn't eat. And mm-hmm. People are like, I was left blubbering. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah,
how do you, good Lord, like, God, and all the supporting actors were terrible. It was...
I cannot believe that the woman from The Whale, the nurse, was nominated. I just thought she was so poor in her scene work.
Just really, really bad. And also, like, what a terrible character. What, like, what's the term? Where you're encouraging this bad behavior.
Yeah. Enabler.
Enabler, yeah, thank you. I'm just like, what? This is a nurse. What are you? You're feeding him pizzas with ranch. I was, just, God, man. Now, in his defense,
I think he's gonna win though.
Yeah, I almost went Austin Butler because there's a good chance he will win, and also I think I was more impressed with the we both hate the movie, but it's the only thing I liked about it was this guy doing a pretty good Elvis. I don't know, but like. With The Whale and with Requiem for a Dream, Darren Aronofsky's other movie, I kind of get where it's like, I was as disgusted by watching this guy eat food as I was when Jared Leto shoots up into his pus-filled wound.
Yeah.
So I kind of get where it's like, it's supposed to be disgusting. I just, it was so an obvious theater adaptation that was bad.
Yeah.
And the direction was just made me so angry, as you can tell. Anyway, I'm going to pick Brendan Fraser as well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just one, Darren Aronofsky, he seems really obsessed with these types of characters, right? Where it's like the psycho obsessive type of a deal where, you know, obviously it's an addictive personalities. And even if you go back to The Wrestler and Mickey Rourke, which I think some of the same things are happening with Brendan Fraser in terms of just the acclaim that happened with Mickey Rourke as well, right?
Right.
And that character Redemption. Was obsessed. Yeah, he was obsessed, or he was trying to redeem himself with his daughter. Here we have Brendan Fraser trying to redeem himself with his daughter. It's somebody who was a popular actor in the 80s that's coming back to Hollywood and, you know, reclaiming their comeback. The same with Brendan Fraser. So it's pretty similar things that are happening. Milk won that year that Mickey Rourke was up. But
right.
We'll see. You know, maybe... Maybe an old Hollywood guard. I think it would be a pretty big upset, but it would also be really cool if Colin Farrell were able to pull it off. Me and you are both polling. We would love to miss on the ballot.
Yeah, totally. I would love to see Colin. Well, after I saw the movie, I was like, ooh, best picture, Colin, like best actor award. I mean, that was before. But, you know, we had kind of heard Brendan Fraser buzz coming out of Cannes, right? Like standing ovations, total all this. And Jesus, oh man, it was such a letdown. But yeah, I really want Colin Farrell to win. There's just such a, it's a three-horse race, obviously, but I would love to see him pull that out. I would much rather see Brendan Fraser up there than Austin Butler. And I think that's where people will go because they want to, this guy is super charming and humble and like such a nice guy. Same with Kiwi Kwan, like you mentioned, kind of like lost to Hollywood after like a really great run in the 90s. Maybe you should go back to the 90s.
Go back to the
90s. Okay, let's leave that. Director, Mark McDonough, Banshees, the Daniels for Everything Everywhere, Steven Spielberg, Fablemans, Todd Field, Tar, Ruben Östlund, Triangle of Sadness. I think this is open and shut as well, the Daniels.
Daniels.
Yeah. I think will win and I guess should win as well. I mean, where else would you go if you had a vote?
Yeah, so...
Maybe Todd Field?
Yeah, I know. I think the Daniels, it's... So, what were the noms again?
Banshees, Martin McDonagh, which... Fableman, Spielberg, Todd Field, Tar, and then Ruben Östlund, Triangle of Sadness.
Triangle of Sadness, yeah. I mean, it's got to be the Daniels. It's who will win and should win.
Yeah, will win and should win. All right, let's move on to the finale here. Best Picture. Before we do this, I know I'm kind of calling you off guard here. Do you want to do your preferential ballot 10 to 1?
What does that mean?
Like, because that's how the Oscars are voted on, right? It's like you have to rank the nominees from 1 to 10. So when they're counting the ballots, this is why something like Coda wins, where it's like everyone has that at number 2.
At number 2.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do it on the fly.
Yeah. All right, what's your number 10?
Women Talking.
Mine is Women Talking. that was easy. Number 9, mine is Elvis. Yep. Number 9 is Elvis. Number 8, mine is Fablemans.
I would say Avatar.
Okay, I have Avatar at 7.
You remember the character Spider from Avatar, and you still want to have it at 7? Just think about Spider.
I really hated Spider, but I was so bored by Fablemans. And, you know, they're basically neck and neck. Avatar was more fun.
All right, so we flipped Avatar and Fablemans.
Okay, so you have Fablemans at 7?
Mm-hmm.
What's your 6?
Tar.
Mine is, Tar. Tar at 6. Triangle of Sadness, 5?
All Quiet on the Western Front is 5 for me.
Okay. I'm going to... Triangle of Sadness, 5 for me. I'm going to go All Quiet at 4.
Okay, so we have those switched.
And then we're into top 3. Number 3 for me is Everything Everywhere.
What's yours? I would say, I'm trying to think about what I have left here. I would say Top Gun.
Top Gun, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just a terrible take.
Okay. And Hayes' foot has gone through his laptop.
Banshees.
He's thrown his laptop against the fridge the same way Brendan Fraser does after he reveals himself in the whale.
Bob, just write a true thing about Top Gun Maverick. Just say something true.
Say something true. I've got to tell one more person about Top Gun with my life.
I just want to know that I did one good thing in my life and made Top Gun Maverick number 1 at the
Okay, so I have Top Gun at number 3.
Everything Everywhere at number 3 for me. I think I've got Banshees at 2.
I have Everything Everywhere at 2 and Banshees at 1.
Okay, and then I have Top Gun Maverick at 1. All right, so yeah, some divergence there, but relatively kind of stacks somewhat similar.
That was fun. We should do that every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. We'll see you next year. all right, so, but what's going to win is going to be Everything Everywhere.
Everything Everywhere.
Yeah. Man, that was exhausting. I'm really nervous about a lot of the Elvis versus Whale stuff. Two movies that I couldn't care less if they won a single award. I think we have enough divergence there. I think I'm probably light on All Quiet. I really hate my Women Talking pick, but based on winning the Guild, and it, I don't know, I'm kind of nervous. But
yeah, I mean, it's the people's champion. Let's see if he can pull it off here. I have a mix of what my heart's telling me as well as what's Vegas telling me. So I didn't just go chalk here, but you know, try to play it a little safer this year than other years, and we'll see what happens out there.
Yeah. Yeah, like the film editing is going to be fun. Everything Everywhere versus Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
It is winning just everything, but I don't know. We'll see. I wanted to switch it up a little bit and not just go everything up and down the board. I like our Kerry Condon's pick there for Banshees. Yeah, so I think there's going to be some intrigue, and hopefully we're not just greatly disappointed. There's only one way that I could be truly happy with this. It's if Colin Farrell upsets the two losers.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. And then Top Gun Maverick pulling it out, the best movie of the year, the most deserving, but there's no chance. Anyway, well, cool. What time does it start, Bob? How do we tune in?
It's at like 1 a.m. Eastern time for me. So, you know, I'll be locked in. I'll be watching it while I'm driving to work at 7 a.m.
Download the ABC streaming app somehow, or I don't know how we're going to watch it. But and then once that's over, fire up the finale to The Last of Us. Really stoked for that. So should be a
and get a mop for Hayes's house.
Yeah, I know. Just be slipping, sliding. Everybody's dancing. And Greg, give some of these a try, man.
Greg.
Yeah, come on, you loser.
Yeah. Stop watching old Dice Bits.
All right, we'll end it there. Thanks everyone for sticking around. Good luck in your office pool.
Happy balloting.
Yeah, happy balloting. Happy Oscar extravaganza, the 95th time we've done this.
All right. Wash your hands. Stay safe. We'll see you down the road.
See you down the road.
Entertainers
like to seem complicated, but we're not complicated. I can explain it pretty easily. Have you ever been to a birthday party for children, and one of the children won't stop screaming because he's just a little attention attractor? When he grows up to be a comic or actor, he'll be rewarded for never maturing, for never understanding or learning that every day can't be about him. There's other people, you selfish asshole. Must be psychotic, I must be demented to think that I'm worthy of all this attention, of all of this money you worked really hard for. I slept in late while you worked at the drugstore. My drug's attention, I am an addict, but I get paid to indulge in my habit. It's all an illusion. I'm wearing makeup. Art is a dead. People think you're funny. How do we get those people's money? Said our art is a dead. We're rolling in dough while Carlin rolls in his grave. His grave. His grave. The show has got a budget. The show has got a budget. And all the poor people, way more deserving of the money, won't budget. Cause I wanted my name in lights. When I could have fed a family of four for 40 fucking fortnights. 40 fucking fortnights. I am an artist. Please, God, forgive me. I am an artist. Please don't revere me. I am an artist. Please don't respect me. I am an artist. Feel free to correct me. A self-centered artist. Self-obsessed artist. I am an artist. I am an artist. But I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. Kid. And maybe I'll grow out of it.